This morning, we're turning again to the Gospel according to Mark. If you'd like to follow along as we read God's Word together, we're in Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16. As you turn there, I remind you that we believe the Bible to be the Word of God. It is inerrant. It is our only infallible rule of faith and practice. And though the grass withers and the flowers fade away, the Word of our God will stand forever. Mark chapter 10, we'll read verses 13 to 16. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Hear the word of the Lord. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, who caused all the Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning, we ask this morning that you would grant us to hear them, to read, to mark, to learn, to inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast to the blessed hope of everlasting life which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. You've probably picked up, if you've been with us for very long in our series in Mark, that Mark, as a literary tool, delights in working in contrasts. You see it in virtually every chapter of Mark. He contrasts this with that, this with that, in the placement of his stories. And you see that this morning. It's very intentional that you have a story about children coming to Jesus immediately following his teaching on marriage and divorce. And it's not because children and marriage generally go together. That would be a pairing. But their contrast here points to the sharp contrast between those sophisticated Pharisees. If you were with us last week, you remember they were there again to test him. The sophisticated Pharisees whom Jesus brushed off, contrasted with the ordinary, plain-as-day folks in our passage this morning, who he literally welcomes with open arms. And these are the very type of people who the Pharisees look down their long noses upon, the common folks, the sinners, the tax collectors, because they did not keep the traditions of men carefully enough to their satisfaction. And you remember, since Jesus' ministry began, we've seen these Pharisees constantly plotting, accusing, condemning, seeking to trap, seeking to test, making things unnecessarily complicated. The Pharisees delight in making things unnecessarily complicated, especially religion. Unnecessarily legalistic. And then we come to this passage this morning. They are refreshingly absent. There are no Pharisees in the passage this morning. It's just a simple story about ordinary folks coming to Jesus to have him bless their children. And that was a classic Jewish custom. It goes all the way back to Jacob, at least, in Genesis chapter 49. Remember when Jacob gathered his sons and laid hands on them and blessed them? This was a tradition that was passed down through the centuries, where parents would bring their young children to respected Jewish rabbis, and the rabbi would place his hand on them and bless them, bless their children. That's what's happening here. Here come these parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, and they're bringing their children. We can imagine there's a lot of them, but the disciples don't like it. Look at verse 13. They're bringing their children to him that he might touch them, bless them, and the disciples rebuked him. Can you imagine that? The disciples rebuke the parents, the grandparents. It's easy to guess why. We've seen a running theme in Mark is that Jesus keeps an incredibly busy schedule. The crowds are constantly pressing on him. The people are constantly pressing on him, constantly demanding from him. He doesn't have nearly enough time to deal with the adults. So you can think, going through the minds of the disciples, much less does he have time to spend with children. His time's too precious. His energy's too precious. He doesn't have it to waste. And so they rebuke the parents, but Jesus objects. Look at verse 14. When Jesus saw it, that is the disciples rebuking the parents, when Jesus saw it, he was indignant. That's a strong word in the Greek. This is the only time in all the Gospels that this word is used to describe Jesus' emotional state of being. It's actually a compound word that literally means much grieved, or we might translate it agonized. In fact, the Greek root is where we get our word agony. Very strong word to describe Jesus' emotional reaction to the disciples turning away parents with their children. He was agonized over it. He was disgusted that the disciples were keeping children away. And look what he says. He was indignant. He agonized. He was much grieved. And he said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them. For to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Do not hinder them." It's people like these little children who will enter the kingdom. And so he gathered them into his arms, and he blesses them, and he holds them tight. It's a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful story. The story can be summed up in three stages. Very simply, straightforward. You have the promise, you have the warning, you have the welcome. What is the promise? The promise is that those who receive the kingdom are those who come like a child. You see that a couple of times. Look at verse 14. To such, it's a simile, to people like these little children belongs the kingdom of God. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child, shall not enter it. So, of course, the big question is, what does it mean to receive the kingdom of God like a child? Seems straightforward enough, but there have been some crazy ideas about what Jesus is saying here. Some have proposed, and you've probably heard this, that Jesus is saying children are sweet and innocent. So if you want to enter into the kingdom of God, you must be sweet and innocent like a child. Now, I don't think anyone who has actually lived with and grappled with real life children believe for a moment that they are truly innocent of wrong. If you've ever seen a toddler temper tantrum, you don't have to teach them how to do that. There's a lot of things you have to teach children. You don't have to teach them to do wrong. You don't have to teach them to sin. You don't have to teach them to be rebellious. Children do not have to be taught to be sin. Jesus is not naive about that. Nor is he saying anything here about children being automatically included in the kingdom. Nor is he saying anything here about some so-called age of accountability where children are not responsible for sin until they're 10, 11, 12, 13 years old. There's no notion of that in the scriptures. This isn't a call to be simplistic. This isn't a call to be childish in our approach to God. Childlike, yes, but not childish. What does it mean to receive the kingdom of God like a child? What is the promise here? Well, I think if you turn back to chapter 9, we can objectively see exactly what Jesus is talking about, because he's already picked up on this thing more than once, but he picked up on it non-specifically with children. And that's hanging in the background here. Remember in chapter 9, he's talking about leadership and humility. Verse 35, he sat down and he called the 12. Remember, they were arguing about who's number one, who's number one. Who's the greatest? Who's the best? And he said to them, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. And he took a child and put him in the midst of them. And taking him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. The little child here is a picture of weakness. The little child here is a picture of being last. He doesn't have any status in society. An infant has no accomplishments. An infant has no influence. An infant has no fame or gifts or net worth. Think of a child. A child is happy to ask for help. He's happy to ask his parents for help. without any kind of notion or pretense that he can pay his parents back for that. A child. Every single child in the world is absolutely, completely, totally, objectively, subjectively, existentially helpless. Entirely dependent. A spirit of total trust. And Jesus says, you must come to the kingdom like that. It's exactly what I'm talking about. So here come the disciples, and Jesus promises to those who will come simply with open arms, nothing to bring, that's who's going to receive the kingdom. And here come the disciples, and they look at this crowd of children, and they see these as people with nothing to bring. These are people with nothing to offer. These are people with nothing to add to the kingdom. You don't have time for them. And Jesus says, no, that's precisely the point. That is the exact type of person that has a place in my kingdom. I will welcome into my kingdom exactly those who come with nothing to offer and are not ashamed to ask. So don't hinder them. Let them come. The promise is for them. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. That is the type whom Jesus promises entrance into his kingdom. That's the promise. I found a great quote some years ago by Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon was the famous 19th century London Baptist preacher. Spurgeon wrote this, "I will say broadly that I have more confidence in the spiritual life of children, the spiritual life of children that I have received into this church than I have in the spiritual condition of the adults that I have received." He goes on, "I will go even further than that and say that I have usually found a clearer knowledge of the gospel and a warmer love to Christ in the child converts than the adult converts." He goes on, "I will even astonish you still more by saying that I have sometimes met with a deeper spiritual experience in the children of 10 and 12 than I have in certain persons of 50 and 60. I've seen that. The promise is for those who come with a childlike spirit of total trust and dependency. The second point, there's a flip side to this. You have the promise, but the inverse is a warning. And he's very clear about this. Look at verse 15. Jesus gives the reverse side. Verse 15, "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." That's the warning. If you refuse to come to Jesus like a child, you will absolutely never enter the kingdom. It's that straightforward. Many people, think of this, many people come to Jesus with something in their hand. They come with this notion, like the Pharisees, that they're basically good people, relatively moral, and maybe Jesus has a little something he can add extra to that. My life is okay. I'm okay. Maybe Jesus has a little something extra. They come like an adult. They come to pay. They come to bargain. They come to negotiate. They come to barter a deal. They come for what they can get out of it. But Jesus says, you can offer nothing. You can offer nothing but your surrender. It's the only thing you can bring. Or as Rod Rosenblatt says, you bring nothing but your sin and cholesterol. That's it. You have nothing else to bring to the table. And for those who do not come like that, he says, the kingdom will not be opened for you. You've got to come like a child. No status, no resources, no pretenses. How many times have we seen this in Mark? This is a major theme in the Gospel of Mark. All of the Gospels, really. But you can't earn it. You can't deserve it. You can't make it. You can only accept it. How often have we seen group after group coming to Jesus and failing to enter into the kingdom? They want to bring their own agenda. The religious leaders, they're bringing their own agenda. The disciples at times bringing their own agenda. The crowds repeatedly bringing their own agenda. The religious authorities bringing their own agenda. Even Jesus' own family. Remember going back to Mark chapter 3. Bringing their own agenda. He says, no. Don't come with your agenda. Don't come with your status. Don't come with your resources. Don't come with your pretenses. Come with your self-abandoning trust. Nothing else. That's the warning. So you have a promise. You have a warning. But finally, you have a beautiful welcome. A beautiful welcome. Look at verse 16. And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. Jesus loves children. And he takes them into his arms and he hugs them close to his heart and he blesses them. But this isn't just about age. Jesus is saying he loves children, young and old, whatever your age. It's not about age, it's about coming like a child and receiving the blessing of Christ. Dwight Moody, who was a famous 19th century American evangelist, told the story of once returning from an evangelistic meeting, and he reported that he had 2.5 conversions. And the reporter asked him, I guess that's 2 adults and 1 child. And he said, no, it was 2 children and 1 adult. The children gave their whole lives. The adult only had half a life left to give. But he gave it. Doesn't matter your age. You don't have to be a child. Children can come to Christ. This is a good reminder here for parents. Young children can come to Christ, and Christ will not turn them away. But it's a good reminder for adults too. You can come to Christ. Whatever your age, you can come to Christ like a child. And he will not turn you away. If you only have half a life left to give, give him half your life. But come. Come. And whatever the Pharisees think, whatever the disciples think, these ordinary, everyday folks who bring their children, these people that the Pharisees look down their noses at, they are worth the time of Christ. And they're worth our time too. It's true they don't know much, but they act on what they know. It's true they have nothing to give. That's the whole point. And he accepts them all when they come like children. Whatever your age, let me ask you this question this morning. Whatever your age, do you desire to be held in the arms of Christ and pulled close to his heart and have him pronounce blessings on you and assure you that you have inherited his eternal kingdom? Do you desire that? This is the key. And Christ makes it as clear as possible. Come to him. Come to him. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the clarity and the straightforward nature of the gospel. And Lord, we ask this morning that it would be crystal clear in our hearts. Give us ears to hear. Give us eyes to see. Lord, give us hearts that are warm and receptive to know this very morning that you are waiting with open arms, ready to receive those who come clinging to nothing, offering nothing, pleading nothing, but abandoning their trust to you. Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.